Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. I want to welcome you in today. We've got an exciting guest, and that's Brad Dancer. Brad is the head coach at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and he's going to come on today and discuss his top-notch program that he has out there under the men, with the men under his direction. I want to remind you that we have other shows on the air. On Tuesday morning, we have a Parenting Aces with Lisa Goodman Stone, and she broadcasts out of Atlanta, Georgia at 10:30 in the morning on Tuesday. On Wednesday at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, we have American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. And then you have my show, The American College Experience, which broadcasts Wednesday at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. Then on Thursday, we have the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association Perspective, and that is with John Denise. I want to let you know about some current things that are happening in the ITA. First is the U.S., an interesting article about how the USTA added Brad Stein to its national coaching staff. This article can be found on the itatennis.com website. And Coach Stein is a former, or began his college career at Fresno State, and has worked with former world champion Jim Courier, also coach Marty Fish, Taylor Dent, and Sebastian Grosjean. This is an interesting hire. Stephen Armitage, who was the only coach at the USTA National or Collegiate Division, gets some help here from Coach Stein. Just waiting on Brad Dancer. And on the rest of the show today, we've got Brad Dancer. Brad is the head coach at the University of Illinois at Champaign, and look forward to bringing him in the air. Let me see if he's there.
Here.
Hello, Coach Dancer. How are you today?
I'm doing super.
Good. Glad to have you come on the show today, and looking forward to the visit for about an hour here. But Coach, I'm going to let you know there are some people that listen into my program that have no idea who you are. So if you could just give some biographical information on how you ended up as the coach there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I grew up in Michigan. I played college tennis at Michigan State, where I studied business law. And I went back and helped the Michigan State Spartans for a number of years as a volunteer coach. And then was very fortunate to spend some time on the professional tour coaching a number of female professionals. And I also worked with Billie Jean King as an assistant to the Fed Cup team. And then I, from there, I got back into college tennis and was the head women's coach at the University of Arizona, Tucson. And then I bounced over to the men's side and was the men's coach at Fresno State in Fresno, California for a couple of years. And then 12 years ago, I came to Illinois to be the assistant coach to Craig Tiley, who's always been one of my great mentors. And then a year after arriving in Champaign, Craig went to over to Tennis Australia, and I was fortunate enough to become the head coach at Illinois. And so I'm heading into my 12th year here at the University of Illinois.
Yeah, and you've been quite successful since you've been there, Coach. But before we get too much into it, you worked with Billie Jean King. How was that experience?
Well, Billie Jean is you know, when you kind of have your Mount Rushmore of people in your life, and she's definitely on my Mount Rushmore just in terms of influences and people that I look up to and respect. She's an amazing woman, and just to be around her, her energy and her passion is highly contagious. But she's very intelligent, you know, has a tremendous emotional IQ. I think understands people extremely well. And yeah, she's a great woman, and I've been just feel spoiled for the time I've had with her.
Yeah, I also did some world team tennis, Coach. How was that?
I did. Yeah, it was Billie's team, and I can't remember how many years I did that. Maybe 8 or 9 years. And you know, 1 year we had some pretty darn good players, and we were able to win the championship, which was kind of fun. But you know, I had a blast every year. I had some fun people. My very first year doing that was my team was Lori McNeil, Mary Jo Fernandez, Jim Grab, and Patrick McEnroe. So I think it was something like 58 or 59 years of professional experience on our bench, which was a pretty cool experience for me.
Yeah, and named champions in 2003.
Say that one more time.
You were named champions in 2003?
Yeah, that was not with that team, but gosh, I you know, we had a great team in 2003 and won the league title, and so that was a lot of fun. You know, we had some of my good friends, you know, playing on those teams, Paul Goldstein, Michael Sell, and so forth. So it was some fun times.
Yeah, Coach, now you've been there at the University of Illinois for quite some time now. You've been able to experience some of the great college players that have come on and played on the Pro Tour. How's that been, Coach?
Yeah, again, we've been fortunate to, you know, before I came to Illinois and then since I've been there, we've had a lot of success with our professional players, you know, going back again to kind of Amir Delish, Rajiv Ram, Brian Wilson before I got there. And then, you know, since that time, Ryler DeHart, Kevin Anderson, and, you know, we've got almost a dozen guys out there right now. They're still playing some. So we're really proud of that tradition, and our alumni play a big part in, you know, also kind of mentoring the current student athletes, which is really cool to see the cohesiveness of our team together.
Hey, Coach, now you and your team had some interesting experiences over the summer, accumulating with Kevin Anderson getting to the quarterfinals there at the U.S. Open. Now, Coach, I want to ask, I was watching that match, and I thought I saw you on TV. Was that you in the coach's box?
I did happen to sneak in there. There's, you know, we don't obviously don't get to watch Kevin, you know, too much throughout the year, but when it's in New York, you know, I try to get there and support him and tie that in with a number of other meetings and so forth. And so it was a lot of fun this year to be there for his matches, and he obviously had an extraordinary tournament. So it was a ton of fun to follow that.
Yeah, now when I saw you, you were over there discussing what seemed like some important points in the match with Kevin's coach.
Yeah, well, Neville's been you know, a great influence on Kevin, and Neville and I have a great time together with you know, with Kevin's physio and, you know, Kevin's entire team, which you know, is cool that they you know, sort of invite my input in there. And I try to stay out of the way as much as I can, but it's a great relationship. I think everybody looks at it as, you know, what can we all do to get Kevin playing at his peak, and they obviously have done a great job with him all year long, and then especially in New York this year. I think just coming up with good game plans and keeping him in the right frame of mind, and it's fun to be a part of that.
Now, how much has his game changed since he was there at college?
You know, it's kind of funny. We laugh about that because you talk about that all the time. It's, you know, Spen, 2007 was his last year playing for us. And so, you know, all the guys think that, of course, he played, you know, played just like that in college, the way he's playing now. And I try to explain to him, no, I mean, he's improved a lot as a pro. And so, yeah, the interesting thing is Kevin still has maybe quite a few of the same types of flaws that he had in college, but he's really just polished them up, and it's a testament to his work ethic and his commitment to kind of being better all the time. It's, he just never stops improving and never stops getting better. So he's been able to kind of fine tune, if you will, you know, all these different nuances of his game, both offensively and defensively, and his footwork patterns and weight transfer on the ball. And you still see some of the, you know, some of the, again, flaws is a strong word, but, you know, little things I know he wants to keep improving, they keep sneaking up, and those are there back when he's in school. But he really has just continued to kind of polish the, you know, sharpen the saw, if you will, in terms of all facets of his game.
So, Coach, I think we could spend an hour about your past teams and about what's going on, but that's not why I had you on today. I wanted to talk about the current situation. So before we get too much into that, Coach, let's talk about the University of Illinois just a little bit. What makes that place so special?
Todd, that's a great question. It's a great question. I think, you know, number one probably is that, you know, we've got an administration that cares so much about tennis. And, you know, we just feel spoiled in the sense that, you know, we were obviously at a Big Ten school, and you've got all the history and camaraderie that comes with that. But, you know, I think Craig built a foundation where people are going to care about tennis. And so I think it's probably the most unique thing for us is, you know, our athletic director knows every one of our team. He knows their parents. You know, he knows their girlfriends. And, you know, just to have that level of closeness, if you will, you know, with the administration, I think is pretty impressive. And then, so they support everything we do, you know, the tournaments we want to play, the schedule we want to do. You know, the types of recruits that we want to bring in. And so it really starts from the top down at Illinois in terms of the school's backing of the program. You know, and then from there, you go on to, I think, the success that again, our guys have been able to have at the professional level. We're incredibly proud of that. I think most of the kids that, you know, are considering Illinois look at that as one of the primary reasons. You know, hey, these guys, you know, they're able to have guys come in, and those guys are having success at a higher level after college. You know, and then probably the next thing is really just the crowds that we draw. I think we're a little bit legendary, might be too strong a word, I don't know, but it's not a very fun place to play when you come to Atkins and have to deal with our crowd. And so, you know, it's always fun. I always chuckle because everyone's always looking forward to playing in front of the crowds. And usually it's our own freshmen that get the most nervous when they have that many people cheering for them, you know, their first time out there. So I always get a chuckle out of that when the crowd really starts getting behind them and they don't know how to control their heart beating out of their chest and so forth. So it's just really an exhilarating experience to play in front of our crowd at Illinois.
How many students go to the University of Illinois?
Almost 45,000. That's another thing I'm really upfront with parents about, too, is probably not the best recruiting strategy, but it's a big campus, you know, tons of students. We're really packed into a tight radius, so it is it's a very alive and electric university and campus setting. I think, again, because everybody's condensed into such a small area, so because of that, it has a little bit of a micro-urban feel to it, if you will, and there's a lot of energy on campus. And so it's something that, you know, we make sure, again, a lot of our younger guys, that they're not overwhelmed by the campus setting, they're not overwhelmed by, you know, just all the, I guess, you know, to say the energy around them and all the happenings that are going on, because you got to keep the focus with the academics and the tennis, and sometimes with all that's happening, that's not always the easiest thing to do.
Coach, what attracts just the regular student there to the University of Illinois? What are some of the better programs you've got?
Yeah, I, you know, obviously you're talking about a school that's, you know, just in the sense that I've been there in my time, what's happened with the world rankings. I think the latest I saw, you know, we're up to 27 or 28 in the world in terms of world rankings. And that's really a tribute, number one, to our engineering department and our business school. Both of those are renowned across the world, and we have so many people from around the world now coming to study at the University of Illinois as well. I think they're recognizing that. You know, it's incredibly difficult for the in-state person just to get into the University of Illinois. So I think the exclusiveness of the education and the quality of the education, and then also, again, the experience. I think there's a lot of students that, when they look at the University of Illinois, they say, well, that's, you know, gosh, I can get a, you know, an outstanding education, one of the best educations in the world, and I can do it at a place where there's a ton of energy. You know, it's fun to go to basketball games. It's fun to go to football games. And then when you take the tennis component, you know, wow, I'm going to have people cheering me on the tennis court as well. So, you know, that's really, you know, we're looking for those types of guys that are big energy guys, love the excitement of Big Ten athletics, and, you know, just appreciate, I think, the totality of the experience.
Coach, I was watching, doing a little research here. You've been recently named that you have the 8th best facility in the United States. Can you tell us a little bit about your facility?
Yeah, we've got, I think the count, somebody sent that to me last night. I think they counted our courts wrong. We've got, we have 20 outdoor courts and we have 6 indoors. So we've been spoiled. You know, originally Clint Atkins, built our indoor facility, and then a couple of years ago, Shahid Khan built the outdoor complex. So we've got two guys that have been incredibly supportive of our efforts over the years and what we want to do and the vision that we have for our tennis program. And so, number one, we're thankful to those two men and the contributions they've made. Now we feel like, again, when you look at the wholeness of the facility, you know, we've got our training room right there. We've got a fitness room at the facility. We've got the indoors there. My office is there. You know, our women's tennis office are there. So, you know, we've got everything. We've got 12 championship courts, the scoreboards, and video feeds on all those, and the same thing indoors. So there's, you know, we keep wondering, like, what's the next step for our facility? We're not really sure outside of, kind of maintenance and decor and some things we want to do there to recognize sort of the history and the heritage of the program. But, right now from the court situation and everything else, we just love our facility. And, again, I think our guys feel spoiled to play in the confines.
Hey, Coach, did I understand right that you have clay courts available to you too?
Well, it's an interesting point. We do right now, and we're talking about building them on our facility. Right now, we've got a great relationship with one of the local clubs in town where we're able to utilize their clay courts. And so we spend a significant amount of the year practicing on clay, and that's just kind of my personal beliefs. I feel like it's advantageous to our guys to have the experience of playing on clay. So we spend, you know, June through kind of about November 1st, usually, each year, training on the clay. And so it's a large component of what we do. We haven't been there as much this fall because I feel like we've been on the road so much. But, most of the time we're there quite a bit.
Yeah, you got 10 players on your roster, Coach. You started your fall season. How are things going?
Good. We've had some great results so far, and we've got it's a mixed bag. We're playing some college tournaments, and we've got quite a few of our guys that are out playing professional events as well. And so I'm actually in Mansfield, Texas right now with a couple of our guys. So, we're here playing in the $15,000 event here. And then we've got another one of our guys that's in Tulsa, and then the rest of the guys are playing a prize money event that we have back home this weekend in Champaign. So we're kind of spread all over the place, and that's a little bit kind of how we run things. But I think we're excited about the fall. We're excited about, you know, our newcomers that have arrived, and also some of the progressions of guys that we did some redshirting last year, which is a little bit new for our program. And I think so far we're really pleased with the results and some of the gains the guys made during their redshirt year. So it's been a fun fall for us so far, and we're obviously, you know, as a college coach, you enjoy every component of each season, but you're also always looking forward to January when you can start, you know, getting out there against other teams and playing dual matches.
Coach, on your roster, you have three internationals and the rest are Americans. What do the internationals bring to your team?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we kind of have a unique blend there, and our team has not only been mostly American, but mostly from the Midwest as well. And, you know, we enjoy, you know, kind of having that being the predominant aspect of our culture. I think our guys need to understand the value of an NCAA championship, of a Big Ten championship, just how meaningful, impactful that is to our university and the alumni that have played before them and so forth. And then we've, you know, again, just had a neat history of guys coming in and kind of being very impactful on, you know, on being able to absorb that culture, be a part of that culture, and then make their own stamp. And I think that, you know, that goes back to, again, like a G.D. Jones and a Kevin Anderson, who were incredibly impactful. And then now with, you know, the three international players that we have, you know, their ability as well to kind of be a part of that culture and then add their own distinct flavor to it. So it's been a nice mix for us. And, you know, we're looking forward to, again, have our team built around, you know, kind of that Midwest culture. And, you know, we have great banter going back and forth because we got a lot of guys that are Bears fans on our team, and I'm a big Lions fan. So, you know, right now there's not much to say about either one of those squads. So, but usually there's some pretty good banter going back and forth.
Now, you've finished one big tournament, the A&M Conference Challenge. Coach, tell us about that. What was so unique about that tournament?
Well, it's just, you know, A&M does a great job with that event, and we saw some super competition out there, and we had some guys that had some good results, guys that took their licks. So, for me, it was just kind of fun to get out there, and we had to suspend a competition that we had earlier this summer planned, so we had not competed in 3 or 4 weeks for a couple of our guys, which is, as you know, a long time to go. So it's fun to get back out there, and we had some rust we had to shake off in some areas, but you know, mostly it was just Texas Tech was out there, Harvard and A&M. I get along well with all those coaches, so it was really fun to you know, just to get out there and play some great matches. And we had all, you know, we had three matches where we had multiple match points and lost those, and so it was good just to get the sting of defeat, and then we had some great matches that we pulled out at the end too, and those are always fun. Just that feeling of those competitive juices flowing again was great.
Hey, Coach, this week the ITA All-American has begun. How many players do you have in that tournament?
Yeah, we've got we actually had three guys in the main draw, and then two of them, as I mentioned, that decided that we were going to play this this event here in Mansfield, Texas instead, and so we're here in Mansfield, and we've got one more, Aaron Hiltzik, who's there in Tulsa, and looking for him to, you know, again, just he's, Aaron's been really focused on kind of improving a lot of aspects of his game, and I know he's looking forward to get out there and show what he can do this weekend.
Hey, Coach, what are you looking for in the fall? What, I mean, you know, are you trying to put together things for the spring, or is this an individual season where you spend a lot of time getting the kids' games situated?
I think that's a great question. You know, for us, it's all about making jumps. And, you know, everybody's not at the same level on our team, and that's, you know, that's a good thing because it forces people to kind of have different people to strive to, and no one's really at – you know, I don't think if you ask anybody on our team, they wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I've arrived. You know, I'm right where I want to be. I think everybody's got a vision of how much more forward they want to go with, you know, with their games and so forth. And so for us, it's about getting guys to make that jump. And I think we really look at that on an individual basis. What does this person need to do right now to make the next jump in his tennis game? You know, that's a physical component, a mental component. And then obviously just the skill component. You know, are they hitting their serves and forehands and backhands well enough to make that jump? And, you know, are they have the right mindset and so forth? So I think looking at the holistic nature of it and then trying to, you know, chop it down into blocks and make jumps in each area as they go forward. And I think that gives them a chance to kind of have the results that they're looking for. And so, you know, we want the most competitive environment possible. And we want guys that are, you know, winning matches you know, whether it's in professional events or college events, to be putting stress, not the right word, but I think kind of sending messages to their teammates, hey, you know, I'm a guy that wants to play high in the lineup this year, and you know, I'm going to be a force to be reckoned with. So, you know, a lot of that is a mentality, and that kind of goes into the type of people that we want to recruit here at Illinois as well. We want guys that think of themselves as big timers and want to play big time tennis and want to have professional tennis as part of their future as well.
In the fall is usually a temperature gauge for the spring. Coach, what have you seen out of your players so far?
Yeah, you know, it's been give me one quick second, sorry.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Yep, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Can you still hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I sure can. Go ahead. What have you seen
great.
So far out of your players?
Yeah, you know, again, we've had some really strong performances from our freshmen, which has been great to see, and I just think that they're making big jumps. And, again, I know I alluded to some of the guys we redshirted last year. We've got a junior from Milwaukee, Alex Jesse, who, you know, from a results standpoint, wasn't outstanding at Texas A&M, but it was great to see him sort of just getting his mojo back and feeling like, you know, he just started to look like a tennis player again. I think he was down on himself for maybe, you know, lack of contributing over the past year. But I just see a lot of progress with him right now, and I think he's going to be an impactful player for us this year. And Julian Childers is another one that, you know, has had a great start. I think he's 7-2 so far in the fall. And so Julian was another guy that we chose to redshirt this past year. And so those are two guys that I think are going to be really impactful for our team come springtime.
You are able to recruit some of the best kids in the United States, Coach. Besides the university, what else attracts the players to the program? Is it the pro tennis or are there other things?
I think, again, you know, you look at, for us, you've got the university itself. You've got, you know, again, I think that, you know, one of the things that people are always surprised at is just, again, what a big deal tennis is. You know, we've got scrapbooks of you know, the news articles that our guys in. They're in the paper a couple times a week, and I got the pictures in there, and the TV is constantly coming out to interview guys, and the radio is coming out to interview. And so I think when you play tennis at Illinois, you know, it just you feel like you're an important part of the university. You feel like you're an important part of the community with the amount of fans that come out. And, you know, we started about 7-8 years ago corporate hospitality at our home matches. And so I think just we've got some great people in Champaign and impactful people in our community that come out and watch our guys play tennis. I think that's really an enjoyable aspect of it for them. So, you know, when you're doing in life, if you feel like it has meaning and there's meaning attached to it, I think that's certainly a motivating factor. And it's one of the things that probably separates our program from others is just the amount of support that our guys receive, community from the alumni and so forth. And so you know, we're thrilled that that was something that Craig started, and we feel like we've been able to expand on that a little bit. And again, a huge part of that is just the relationship with the alumni. We just had alumni weekend a few weeks ago, and we had 41 men's tennis alumni in for the weekend, which is, you know, it's pretty amazing to get those types of numbers when you're talking about, you know, maybe a couple graduate each year. So it was really a fun to reconnect with all those guys.
Hey, Coach, besides the national ranking, what are you looking for in your recruits?
I think the biggest thing for me when we talk to prospects is if we could get a truth gauge on where they feel like they're going to be 5-6 years down the road. You know, we want guys to believe in themselves, that really see themselves as being great NCAA players, that see themselves as being an All-American when they come to college and playing professional tennis afterwards. And, you know, and if those things, you know, if a career in professional tennis does not pan out for them, then we want those same people to see themselves as leaders in their community in the future and look at themselves as a great individual that's going to accomplish a lot in life. And so I think for me, you know, that's the number one thing for us. We want to recruit guys that see greatness in themselves and have a vision of, you know, for lack of a better term, importance in their lives as they move forward. And I think that's the way that we coach, and we have great relationships with those types of people. And I think with that, you know, comes the nerves and anxiety of trying to have high performance all the time. But I think that as a coaching staff, we do well reaching and connecting to those types of people that are very driven and highly motivated.
What are you, since you, and I got to ask Coach in all this, are you building a program or have you built a program?
God, that's a great question. I think that's a super question, and you know, it probably feels more as a coach like you're building a program, because I just don't think it ever stops. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine who's a little bit younger coach today, and you know, and one of the things I was saying is that I think you always have to have sort of a 10-15 year horizon out there of what you want the program to look like. Otherwise, you're probably not doing justice to how you're coaching the program and running the program. So, you know, I think in my mind, you know, we feel like we're always building a program and always looking towards the future. But at the same time, it's sometimes fun to look back and say, hey, we've having all these guys with professional success and been able to win some Big Ten titles in the last few years. And so those things are fun to look back at, but mostly just to share in those relationships as well. So I guess, it's a great question. I would say, you know, for the most part, we're always thinking about, you know, how do we build for the future and what's the program going to look like again 10, 15 years down the road. We certainly feel like it's a special place, and we want it to feel that way to everybody.
I guess that the satellites in the futures, they play into your philosophy for these kids and for yourself, right, Coach?
They do. You know, for us, it's just another opportunity. So, you know, I think, you know, I don't know where he sits right now, but Jared Hiltzik and Alex Vukic, you know, they're two of the highest-ranked guys ATP-wise in college tennis. And I think a lot of that is attributed to, you know, we're able to create a number of opportunities for them throughout the school year. And I don't even have an exact count, but, you know, those guys are going to be close to 20 professional tournaments this year while being full-time students. And, you know, that's not bad when you're getting that many events, you know, for these guys throughout the year. I think they're getting a big taste of what that next stage is. And there's certainly going to be no, you know, when they graduate, I don't think there'll be any sense of, you know, hey, what's this going to be about? Because they've been doing it for the last few years. So, you know, that cohesiveness. And again, we've been fortunate to host a number of events, and have close proximity to a number of other events that, and the USDA has done a phenomenal job as well in providing opportunities for, you know, for these college guys. So all in all, we're just trying to take advantage of all the resources, opportunities that are out there, you know, to create the best scenario for our student athletes.
Coach Dancer, is this a team sport with individual opportunities or an individual sport with team opportunities?
Man, you got some great zingers out there, don't you? That's another great question. And, you know, I would have to say, I think when you look back on the whole aspect of it, it's a team sport. I mean, when you look at these guys and everything they put into it, and we certainly put a lot of emphasis on their individual improvement and so forth, but these guys look forward to the dual match season, and they can't wait for the dual match season. And they're looking forward to, you know, the little rivalries we have with different teams throughout the year. And, you know, that stuff is fun for these guys. And I don't think there's an atmosphere in tennis that equates to the intensity probably of a dual match situation. You know, I remember a few years ago that Kevin Anderson, when he was first kind of getting going, and he did really well professionally in doubles when he first started. And then a year later, I think he lost, you know, 11 or 12 first-round doubles matches in a row. And he was at Wimbledon, and he said, you know what, I'm just going to treat every one of these doubles matches like it's a dual match. I'm just going to go out with that level of intensity. And he went to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon doubles that year. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, I think there's just something special about a dual match. So I feel like it's, you know, college tennis is a team sport. And I think the best coaches understand that you know, if you're going to have that cohesiveness and that trust in your student-athletes, they have to know that you have their best interests at heart as well, and I think that's how we run our program. You know, we're trying to get each of our guys to develop their skills, you know, so they're ready for the next level. And those two goals go hand in hand. You know, the better our guys are playing and competing, the more success we're going to have in the dual match season. But I do think that's what everybody's looking forward to.
Coach, you mentioned rivals. Who are your rivals in conference and then out of conference, and how important are they to your spring season?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, number one in the Big Ten, you know, you always feel like every match is a rival match. You know, you get to see those guys, a number of times throughout the year, and then you play them through the season, and then you go to the Big Ten tournament, and you're seeing them all again. So it's kind of fun just to have the built-in geographic aspect of it, playing those teams. And we've been back and forth with Ohio State, for so many years, and I don't know how many. One of the two teams has won the conference championship, but. So those are some great ones. And then we've got good relationships with a number of teams out there that we play every year. We play Duke and North Carolina every year, and those are always really competitive matches. And we play Virginia, and we play A&M. And, last year we started a series with TCU. And so I think that's kind of fun. And coming up in the next few years, we start a home and away with Stanford and Cal. And so, I don't know, just fun matches for our guys to play and be a part of. And, and also as a coach, you want to play other programs where you feel like there's a like-mindedness from the coaches as well. And so we've been fortunate to build up a great schedule over the years. And it's just fun to play those matches. But particularly, I think it's also about the conference and feeling those, anytime you're playing in the Big Ten, I think there's an extra sense of urgency from our guys.
You mentioned the keeping it fun, and that was one of my questions here, Coach. How do you keep it fun? And I understand that matches are important, but are there other ways that you keep it fun for your kids?
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of a goofball at times, and so, I'm not afraid to, the guys have seen me dance. They've heard me sing, and they know both those things are pretty atrocious. So we keep it as light as we can. We do cross-training. We're always trying to keep things interesting. When we go on the road, we're trying to find, unique mom-and-pop restaurants or, we have a lot of mentors that come in and speak to our team. And I just think you're always, as a college coach, you've got so many resources, especially at a campus like Illinois. So we bring in experts to talk to our team all the time, just, again, about life. And people have been really, really successful. And we feel spoiled to be at the university that we're at and to have so many phenomenal people. But I think that's one of the biggest things is just utilizing the people that are around you and trying to mix things up and keep things loose. And also, sounds goofy, but, working hard. I think guys enjoy working hard and feeling like they're challenged and pressed. And anytime I always feel like we sort of do the taper off thing, it never works. Guys don't seem to enjoy that as much, and it doesn't seem like they respond as well. So we've got to try to keep pushing through it and have a good time at working hard.
Coach, do you have a favorite team-building exercise that you participate in?
We're always making up new ones. But the Holy Grail is one of my favorite ones, and that started 10 years ago on a beach in Mexico. And, we blindfold the guys and throw a Holy Grail somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and then they've got to find it, trying to use every sense in their body except their eyesight. So that's always entertaining, especially some of the obstacles that they tend to run into along the way.
The Holy Grail.
And I should say, Matic Ball as well, which, started off a game without a name, and one of our former alum, Matic Chervinsky, was so outstanding at it that the game was actually renamed Matic Ball after him, and then we had to change the rules. It was kind of like the when Wilt Chamberlain was dunking all the time. They had to outlaw the dunk. That's what happened in Matic Ball. Is everybody copied him, and then the game became chaos. So we've now had to change the name of that game as well. So that's a good one. We usually only play that once a year because it's a little bit dangerous, and there's been a potential concussion in that a year ago. We're working on the safety aspects of that game.
Coach, how do you spend your summers?
Yeah, we're on the road quite a bit. My wife and kids will tell you that. I'm trying to figure out a way to balance that a little bit better. But, we go out to a lot of the professional events. And, again, fortunately enough, we've got a number that are close by. But we're on the road with our team to those events. And then one of us, either Marcos or myself, is back in Champaign and holding training grounds for the guys. So it's an opportunity for our guys to, work on their games in Champaign or, to have some coaches out with them in the summertime as well. So we feel, we feel gracious that we have those opportunities to do that.
You mentioned that you're able to attract fans to your tennis matches, Coach. Do you run special programs to get the fans out there?
Oh yeah, you know, college students as well. Anytime you start throwing out free food, you know, they start to multiply and come out. So we do all sorts of promotions like that. You know, where we're pizza night or burrito night, or you know, we do costume night where you know, who's got the best costumes out there. You know, always trying to promote something different and make it fun. And we do, you know, most of our matches are on Friday or Saturday nights, and so it's a time when you know, the students can be out there, the local people can come out as well and bring their families. And that's one of the things we've done a better job lately is just integrating the you know, the kids into it and finding an area for them to play so that they're not bored during matches. And so that's you know, it's really been something that we've got the whole community involved in.
Coach, since you seem to have your pulse on American tennis, I got to ask, where do you think American professional tennis is headed?
Well, I think if you're a fan of American tennis, then you've got to be really excited right now. This whole crop of you know, of young talent that you know, ranks so high in the international junior world rankings. You know, I don't know how meaningful and impactful the ITF rankings are anymore, but just looking at those young kids and the success that they're having already at the professional level, and also just looking at their games, I just think it's a great, great group. It should be a lot of fun to watch these guys over the next 5-6 years and to see if, you know, some of those guys can make the jump to being an elite, you know, an elite ATP player. So I'm excited about it. And then, you know, again, it's what the USTA has done in terms of supporting college tennis and utilizing the resources that college tennis has to offer in terms of trying to help you know, guys make the springboard, you know, the professional ranks. I'm blown away by the support that they've been given, you know, that they're giving to all these guys out there. So I think it's kudos to the USTA for recognizing the resources in college and kind of partnering on that. And then again, just to, you know, you look at all these young guns, and they're all impressive young men in terms of their games, and I think their futures.
Does the college tennis experience, does it help in the direction for these players that want to play professional tennis, Coach?
Absolutely. You know, that's really a unique experience for each person. It's an individual choice for each person of how they want to go about that. And for some people, the right choice is going to be, you know, making that jump right from high school and going to the pros. And then there's going to be other guys where the best thing for them is to go to college and use all the resources that a university has to offer to continue to build their game, you know, grow physically, grow emotionally, and go out and establish sort of a, you know, I think that's one of the things for us is, You come and you've got such a support group for you, you know, once you graduate, going out and playing professionally, that these guys have, you know, they play a match and they come off the court and they've got all these people reaching out to them saying, hey, great job on that win. And I think that's just a great feeling as a young man when you're starting playing professional tennis to feel like it's more than just you out there.
Coach, what role has diversity played in your coaching philosophy through the years? And I don't just mean the international versus American. I just mean you've had ranked players, you've had unranked players, you've had internationals, you've had Americans. How has that diversity been handled with your coaching philosophy?
Yeah, it's really, I think, one of the fun challenges because you're always trying to create a culture as a coach, and that's a word that probably is maybe overused, and I probably overused it to talk to our team, but I do feel like it's the number one most important aspect that you know, a team can have is a certain culture that identifies them and defines them. And, you know, and I think our culture is, you know, over the years, it's evolved, but we're very competitive. I think, you know, we're recognized as a tough team that gets a lot out of their players, that overachieving is maybe the wrong word, but I think a team that again, gets a lot out of their skill level, guys get better at Illinois, and we represent, you know, our school and our program with a tremendous amount of class. So those are the things that are the most important to me, that we keep a hold on those. And then it's a matter of, you know, realizing, you know, how do you take all these different aspects or diverse aspects, pile them in, and if they fit into that culture, then you're making that culture richer and stronger as you move forward.
What do you love about coaching tennis?
I think just, you know, there's that's a different question than what do you love about running a program. And coaching tennis, I love the X's and O's. I love the aspects of offense and defense and those things and how they relate and how matchups work and so forth. I think those are really critical things. When you look at tennis, it's how one guy's game plays into another guy's game. So those are really the things that I enjoy. And then in terms of running a program, you know, to me, I've done a lot of different things in my life. I've taught tennis at a club, and I've traveled professionally and so forth. And I think the one aspect that running a program is you feel in terms of all the things that come across the, you know, your desk on a given day and on the court, you feel a little bit like a CEO in terms of you're in charge of this organization. And that's, again, the relationships with boosters, with alumni, with current teams, with recruiting and so forth. And that I think the holisticness of that experience is very rewarding from a personal standpoint.
Coach, who introduced you to tennis, and how important were they?
Yeah, you know, it was my dad played a lot of tennis growing up, and then I've got an older brother and sister. They both played college tennis at Eastern Michigan, and so I was really kind of the baby of the family that got dragged to courts when my brother and sister were playing, I had a little bit of skill, but not much, growing up. But I love the sport, and I had a great coach when I was very young. And Guy Parks, Guy lives in Columbus, Ohio now, and he and I keep in touch. But Guy and Bob Love did a great job of I think really teaching me the fundamentals of the game, both tactically and technically. And so I had a really strong foundation at an incredibly young age, and then a lot of that kind of going forward from that was. From there was my stubbornness in terms of just trying to figure things out on my own. But it was great to have those guys at such a young age, and then my family is a big support as well.
Is there a phrase or a concept that you learned early on that you still carry with you today?
Not at all. over time I've become kind of anti-phrase, anti-slogan, if you will. I think there's tough to have a team that all buys into something. I will say this. I think when that comes to the team, it's very, very powerful. When it comes to the coach, I don't feel like it's as powerful. So I think, for me, we really expect our guys to treat each other, how they want to be treated themselves. I think the golden rule is one of the best. And other than that, I feel like each person's on their own unique life path, and we find them at different points along that journey, and it's up to us as coaches and mentors to kind of understand them, understand where they are in that path, and to try to help make them the best at the moment and for their future as well.
Coach, so how are things going at this tournament you're participating in?
We're Alex Vukic won his first round yesterday, so that was a good win for him, and then Jared Hilton just lost his first round this morning, so we got one win and one loss. So had Jared won, they would have played each other. So that was one of those, maybe we dodged a bullet there, because it's never fun playing your teammate in an individual tournament.
No, it's not. And you mentioned that the other players are headed to the IT All-American. Coach, will you head up there soon?
Well, it all depends on how things go here. So we're in a holding pattern here now, and we'll kind of see how things go and then take it one day at a time. But there's a chance I will make it up to Tulsa and spend some time with Aaron up there.
Coach, it's been fun visiting with you today, and I want to thank you for coming on.
I appreciate you having me, and you asked me some great questions. I was impressed. So.
Yeah, Coach, it's important in this forum to get your ideas out there and let people know about these successful college coaches.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Coach, and I look forward to visiting with you again soon.
You got it.
Thanks. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Head Coach Brad Dancer at the University of Illinois there in Urbana-Champaign. And he's one of the top American coaches, collegiate coaches in the United States, and he's doing a wonderful job in getting these young men prepared for the professional tour and as well as running one of the top collegiate programs in the United States. Thankful for having him come on today, and want to encourage you to look up the University of Illinois and see what's going on up there. And if you ever have a kid that is a nationally ranked player or world-class type junior, you might want to consider sending him that way, and want to wish him the best with the rest of his fall season. And want to thank you for listening in today. We will be back next week with another successful college tennis coach, and want to hope that you'll get out there and hit some tennis balls if you can. Thank you for the day, and bye-bye.